It is time for session number 10 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. The teacher for this school has been E. A. Elam. Now, this is a preacher that has been long gone, and his voice has been very silent in the grave. But from the grave he speaks, if we will read the things that he wrote. And he wrote a number of Sunday school lessons to be presented in churches. And I'm reading from a Sunday school lesson that he wrote to be read in the churches for January 15th, 1922. And this particular Sunday school lesson is about Elijah's challenge of Baal worship. It's looking at 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, we've been looking at this in earlier sessions, and here's what had happened. The people of Israel had turned to Baal, but some of them didn't want to forsake Jehovah, so they were kind of caught between the two. And Elijah says, well, let's have a contest. Call the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, and I will show there, and we'll see who really is God. And so 450 prophets of Baal came to the top of Mount Carmel, and there Elijah alone stood as the prophets of God. They built two altars and put their sacrifice on, and the idea was that each would call upon God, the Baal prophets call upon Baal, and Elijah would call upon Jehovah to see who would consume the sacrifice. Well, the Baal prophets tried and tried and went in a frenzy and cut themselves, but got no response from Baal. But then Elijah prayed. That's where we are at this point in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 37. And I want to read where we left off last week and then go on with these explanatory notes by Brother Elam. And so, as the old schoolmaster may say, the class will now come to order. 1 Kings 18:37. Elijah prayed to God to hear him and consume. Therefore the sacrifice for God's own glory and the salvation of the people. He prayed in a calm and trustful spirit. God wrought miracles to convince people that he had sent his prophets and was with them to confirm the truth. In answer to Elijah's prayer, the fire of Jehovah fell, consumed the burnt offering and the wood, melted the stones and the dust with the intense heat, and licked up the water in the trench. God sent fire upon the altar which Moses built in Leviticus 9:24, and the one David built in 1 Chronicles 21:26, and the one Solomon built in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1. You can also see the cases of Abraham in Genesis 15:7, and of Gideon in Judges 9:21. The agreement and test was, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. The people saw this and were convinced. They hesitated no longer, limping between the two sides. Acknowledging Jehovah is the true God in reverence and awe, they fell on their faces and said, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. This was the answer to Elijah's question, whether Baal or Jehovah is God, 1 Kings 18:21. To own Jehovah as the true God, or now to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, and at the same time to refuse to obey him, is to prove false and untrue to one's convictions. These people proved their sincerity and convictions by acting at once upon Elijah's order to take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. All these Elijah brought down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Verse 40, it was God's law that such prophets should be slain. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and Deuteronomy 18, 20. In the goodness and mercy of God for the salvation of the nation of Israel, these false prophets were slain. It seems that Ahab consented to it. The execution of these prophets was just because God had done it, and his judgment is righteous, Romans 2 and verse 5. All idolaters, false teachers, with all who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, will be punished with everlasting eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. You might also want to look at Romans 2, 4 through 11. After the false prophets were slain, there was an abundance of rain. The idolatry of the king and his people had occasioned the drought, and now that it had accomplished its chastening effect, rain would come. Well, that's the conclusion of Lesson 3. That was for January 15th, 1922. I'm going to turn the page now, and here we find Lesson 4. This was prepared for January 22nd, 1922. And the text for this lesson is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. The title is Elijah's Flight and Return. Let's read the text. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And he came thither to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him and said to him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to destroy it and take it away. Jehovah said unto him, Go, return on their way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshah shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I will leave me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. That reading comes from the American Revised Version of 1901, commonly called the American Standard Version. Now, the golden text for this lesson is Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for Jehovah, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The time that this occurs is estimated to be 906 B.C. Here's the introduction. Verses 1 through 8 of the chapter containing this lesson, and that is chapter 19. Verses 1 through 8 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings relate the effect upon Jezebel of Elijah's having the prophets of Baal slain. Her rage and threat and oath to her gods to kill Elijah in less than 24 hours. Elijah's flight for his life from Jezreel to Beersheba, where he left his servant and went a day's journey in the wilderness and requested Jehovah to take his life. The invitation of an angel to him to arise and eat a cake of bacon on the coals and to drink of a curse of water which lay at his head. The second visit of the angel invited him the second time to eat, because the journey was too great for him without food and the strength it gave, and of his going in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Jezreel was about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. Beersheba was about 45 miles south of Jerusalem. Hence, Elijah's first journey was 95 miles. Horeb was in the southern end of the peninsula of Arabia, between the arms of the Red Sea, and was about 200 miles south of Beersheba. However interesting, instructing, and inviting to comment on these stirring facts, space forbids our dwelling at large upon them, although they are really part of this lesson. Here's some of the explanatory notes. Number one, Elijah's discouragement. And he came thither from his rest and meals under the juniper tree. Elijah came unto Horeb of the Mount of God, 1 Kings 19 and verse 8, unto a cave. Moses stood in the cleft of a rock while Jehovah passed by, in Exodus 33:22, and it has been suggested that this may have been the cave in which Elijah lodged. The cleft of the rock could hardly be called a cave. Caves were common in that country, as we have seen. Sometimes people dwelt in them. Elijah lodged in this one. Whether he spent one night or more is not stated. The word of Jehovah came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah had gone there from the juniper tree in the wilderness. It seems from verse 7 by the direction of the angel, but he had fled from the field of action in Israel. Elijah's reply to this question in the next verse shows that he understood what Jehovah meant by it. There is now, and will ever be, a mighty struggle between right and wrong, truth and error, God and Satan, and all that would live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, and none can retire from the fierce conflict with impunity. He who would retire from the struggle to the wilderness of idleness and ease would sacrifice God's cause and his own soul. On the other hand, the truest, bravest, boldest, and most courageous Elijah needs at times rest and encouragement. The physical reaction of Elijah's mighty struggle on Carmel and the ferocity of Jezebel had depressed him, and he sought relief. God is a present help in time of need, a stay and comfort in human weakness. Therefore he came to Elijah's assistance, though weak and weary and persecuted. Fight on, and God will give the victory. There can be no cessation of the welfare or the warfare. We're going to have to close at this time, and we'll take this up at another lesson. This concludes this session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.